Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings. This is Bama 7, and we are doing something very special this evening. Again, we're having the Lion's Den, so I'm not going to talk long. I'm going to bring the men folk in. I'm going to let them do what they do. Let's see. Greetings.
Greetings. How you doing today?
I am well. How about yourself?
I'm doing good.
I know you're trying to take over the world, and that keeps you real busy. I understand. So I'm glad to be doing this, you know, and I want to make sure that we get this regular because you got to, you know, always leave space for the men folks, you know, so important. And so you came up with this topic, conscious effort. And I was like, something that everybody could use a whole lot more of. But I want to know kind of like what you meant by it, you know. So I'm gonna park it for a second, and you let me know what's going on with this.
Okay. All right. Well, actually, I've been sitting and brewing on this topic for I want to say about 3 or 4 weeks, and I've been asking myself that same question. You know, how do I put this phrase into a real word-for-word definition? And, of course, I did, but I'm not going to read a definition. We all passed high school, so I'm going to skim over it, and I'm going to give a general idea of what I feel like conscious effort is. Now, the first thing I realized when I've been doing my little research is conscious effort has a lot of different associations to a lot of different people. But for me, what a conscious effort is really a discipline. It's really something in the back of your head that's trying to keep you on the track that you know that you want to be on, the track that you need to be on. So the first example that I came up with to describe that is my morning routine. I have a morning routine. I do my push-ups, I stretch, I pray, and then I go and I do my brush my teeth, wash my face, all that good stuff. And at first glance, would be like, oh, okay, well, that's nothing. I can do that every morning. That's what I say in my head. Man, the week that I had, y'all, I didn't brush. I was lucky to get out the house brushing my teeth. So that took a lot more conscious effort than my whole routine probably took the week before. And that is an example of what conscious effort is. It's when the regular stuff doesn't work anymore. When you, like, what are you really doing this for? Like, you have to really put your all into it mentally and physically, because really the topic, the name of the show today was going to be conscious effort or mental gain, because that's really what conscious effort is. It has nothing to do with the physical. It has everything to do with the mental part of the game and how you push yourself mentally and keeping yourself on track in what you're doing.
I get that. I so understand that. You know, as you know, I try to be a very disciplined person, and I get real close to it. But that 5% that I lose, I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I just lost that 5%. You know?
Yeah, and like, that's 5%, and in my opinion, that's half of the conscious part of it, because even my biggest thing is when I was trying to do my dieting and stuff like that, one thing that I had to do was not to just try to do everything cold turkey, but just, you know, people that count calories, I'm not counting calories, but I'll take a mental note of what I'm eating. So what I started to do is start taking mental notes of what I was doing, when I was doing it, and I was understanding and learning things about myself that I probably just would have swept under the rug as no big deal or nothing at all. And when I started taking mental notes of that, I made small adjustments that I saw gradually turn into bigger differences in my life.
So yeah, I get that.
I'm like they say all the time, half of the game is just showing up. So you being able to even say, yeah, I had a bad week, I didn't do this and that, is still making a conscious effort towards doing better in the future.
Yeah, I was just having a whole conversation about raw vegetables, and I was like, oh, my goodness. But then I thought about my goals. I was like, ugh, that might be necessary for my goal. You know, so when you're making this effort, is it attached to a goal or anything else like that? Because sometimes I need, like, that carrot in front of my eyes to help keep me going, you know?
Yes, everything. Well, everything is going to be rooted in a bigger picture and what you want to do, and it really just all depends on what it is that you're trying to train your brain or body to do. You know, for me right now in my personal life, one of my things that I'm working on is, I think we talked about it this week, is taking things for what it is at that moment and not making excuses for other people. And what that goal, the goal in mind is having more peace of mind in yourself and what you're doing, so you can focus on the things that you want. So, you know, you are, and one of the goals could just be yourself, just putting more energy into yourself and not letting outside things come in. And that might be easy to say, but it takes real mental battle to say, yeah, I can't really do this tonight, or I really got to go at 8, I can't stay and do this. It's like that. Those kind of things are things that we have to overcome to get the peace of mind that we want, which is going to be the end goal at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is a men's show, okay? I'm just here kind of hanging out, you know, and anyone that would like to join in the men conversation, all you got to do is press 1, and this is, you know, this is what we're doing. You know, wonderful approach. We're good about leaving that space open for the men and leaving that space open for the millennials. You know what I'm saying? They need a permanent fixture in there, and we can work around that. You know what I'm saying? So do you find men have a difficult time following routine? You said something that had me cracking up. You were saying, you know, guys only focus on 2 things, you know, and those 2 things, if they're not attached to a bigger goal, can lead you down a rabbit hole you'll never come up from. So how do you manage that?
Manage it in a way to help other people, or manage it in a way for myself?
Okay, you just said 2 things. All right. How are you going to manage it?
No, I'm asking, you said, how do I manage it for myself?
Yeah.
Self-delegation, you know. Like I say all the time, I can try to help as much as I can, but I can't make anybody do anything. Me, with everything that I do and the physical labor that I do, I stretch. I had to make myself stretch every morning. Now, me being 22, I'm like, I don't really got to stretch like that. But it's like at the end of the day, in the middle of the day, when my back starts to hurt, I really start to regret not doing it. And me and my peer group being who we are, we're kind of like, we'll be okay. We'll do this. And it's like, nah, maybe we should really just take the take the extra effort to do those things. And it's like, even if they're like, nah, that's kind of whack. Like, they're like, no, I'm not going to do that. It's like you kind of still have to take it upon yourself to be different or be the only one doing it. You know, I'm not scared to be the only one doing something for a little bit. So that's how I try to do a little self-delegation when it comes to things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. And I know that you are young, but, you know, still, you've seen some things and you're still learning some things. And the whole purpose of this is to really be able to put some things out on the table and get an idea as to how to go about that. One thing I would love for you to talk about, because I know I see this all the time, and it's because I deal with, you know, men that have good hearts. You know, they mean well, but I see them overburdening themselves with other people's issues. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, I have to do this for this person, and I got to do this for that person. And I'm like, what about you? You know, what about your obligations? You know, and I see that, I call it the Captain Save One. I want to be politically correct on the show. But, you know, that thing gets on my nerves. And it's like, you know, everyone, you know, sometimes it feels like men rush to go do other things because they don't want to do the thing that's, like, right in front of them, you know? And I'm like, you stalling, you know? So how do you not overextend yourself and not let that distract you from what you're really supposed to be doing?
Well, that's a very complicated, that's a very complicated situation that I always find myself in, with my friends, in relationships, in everything that I do. You know, you don't want to see somebody go down the wrong path. That's with any genuine person that cares about you in your life. So, and it's hard to let people do things or go a certain way in life and you feel like that's not the right way to go. But at the same time, you have to take liability for yourself. And one thing about people that don't care, they don't care about you either in that extension. So you have to keep that in mind. You know, you can end up in a real bad place trying to help somebody out, being the getaway driver, thinking you're trying to help somebody else out, and now you locked up with everybody else. And you didn't even do nothing.
Okay. So they said you needed a ride, and you said, yeah, okay.
Exactly. Didn't ask any questions. It comes with a cost. You have to, at the end of the day, it's really hard to realize that we are individuals that make our own individual decisions. We kind of have to be okay with that. And that's it was hard for in my in relationships, and it's even hard, like, with my little brother, you know, seeing him go through the same things I'm going through, and I'm like, dude, I already know what you're thinking about. Just go ahead and skip this part, and let's go ahead and do this instead. Let's go ahead and do this instead. And it's like, you, I can scream it, I can yell it, I can come down and sit in the bed with him and whisper it while he's sleeping, but it's not going to really do anything because he has to make his own decisions. And you have to let them do that. And it's hard. It's not an easy way to do that. But you do have to know that they are their own individual person, and they have to make their decisions at the end of the day.
Sometimes
you just got to kind of sit on your hands.
Yeah, and sitting there.
And another hardest part, you kind of got to distance yourself sometimes. Like that's probably the hardest thing about it. Sometimes you just can't be around them anymore. You know, you can't overexpose yourself to bad situations. Now their stuff is leaking into your stuff.
Ooh. And it happens.
It happens. You're guilty by association at that point, and I hate the phrase guilty by association, but this is an example of guilty by association at that point, because now you have to distance yourself, but now they're playing with your name, and we don't want that.
Yep. Yep. That is true. All right. Well, we have a caller. Actually, we have a couple of callers that would love to speak. You know, we always want to
get
that extra insight.
Okay, before we get the caller rolling, I just need everybody to know I don't really know everything, but we can definitely work through this together.
You know, that's so a wonderful approach. We ain't got no gurus. All we have is good, well-intended people. That's what we got. You know, we have
this is not a money back guarantee. This is I'll give you my best efforts.
great disclaimer, okay? We have to say that on my show. Good grief. All right, hold on. Let's see if we can grab it. Greetings, welcome to the program. Greetings.
Oh, greetings. Peace. What's good, Brother Solomon? How you doing today? Man, I'm good. That's not fair, man. You can't start backing down. You can't start hollering about what you don't know now. You have to give it all yourself.
I had to make sure before I got the first caller on the line.
That's what's up. Man. Great show. I didn't expect anything less, but nonetheless, I am pleasantly surprised at just really the level that you're answering the questions and giving your opinion. They seem pretty solid to me, and they're interesting nonetheless. But I do have a question, and I hope it doesn't put you on the spot. Because you are a millennial, right? You're this next generation coming up. We're trying to figure it out. If you had to say, or if someone asked you, what statement were you as millennials, this two-part question, you as millennials were trying to make, what would that statement be? And what statement as, and you know, I'm just taking assumptions, but you as a black male or black heterosexual male, what statement personally, not personally, but in that group, are you trying to make, or is there a statement that needs to be made at all,
ooh,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
That is a good question.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to say, hold on, I can't even think of that off of the top. A message to the youth itself, and what about me, it would definitely be about being original to what you want to do in life, about making it what we want to make it, because I definitely believe in people doing what they want to do in life and making the sacrifices necessary to do what they want. So I would have to say that, but if I could get some time, I could get something better for you, because that's a really good question.
Mm-hmm.
What was the first part again?
It's basically the same question, just two categories. You as a millennial, you know, what's the statement? What are you guys trying to, you know, what's the goal? What is the big oomph that you're trying to accomplish? And then just as a, you know, a black man, you know what I'm saying? And then, I made an assumption about sexuality, but just putting out there, heterosexual black male, is there a statement that in that particular group you're trying to make, or does a statement need to be made? Has everything been said?
I don't think that everything has been said. I can tell you that a statement that I'm trying to say is that I'm really trying to build something. I'm not really here for the artificial. I'm not here for the fun stuff. I'm really here to get my hands dirty and build something for myself and the people around me. I feel like this generation, that my peer group, are really trying to do something different in the society that we're in right now. Everything is changing, and we're really trying to just break away from a couple of old things that we've been doing.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. You know, and the question is so important, because there is a group called Occupy. And so Occupy would go and they would sit up in the Capitol and they would demand to be heard. And the second they're like, okay, what do you want? They're like,
we didn't think this far.
Like,
right. We occupied.
We occupied. And I'm like, what about this other stuff? And so it is important to have that pillar, that banner that you're waving. Hey, this is me and this is what I'm about. So I think that's an awesome question.
Right, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
It's like in ours, one of our big to-dos was the First Amendment. It was, you know, even whether you agreed or disagreed with the music on the label, it was about having the right to express. So that was our whole thing. Then we was going through apartheid with South Africa. So I'm, you know, I was just wondering, is there a statement that this generation has made? I know I guess we could contribute to Black Lives Matter, but is there, I guess I'm asking, what vision of the world do you have? What is this vision of the society that you guys are creating that's better than the one that's been handed to you?
And do you care about the society? You know,
and do you care?
You know what I'm
saying? And as a spiritual person, I didn't add that one in. I would have liked to add that one in there. Add that on top of, and spiritualism in what some of us would say, man, is less than a spiritual or more immoral society. Man, I know that's a lot. That's a lot of toppings on that ice cream, man.
Okay.
But if you could pick a couple, if you pick a couple out and throw them out, man, I'm going to sit back and listen. Thank you again, Brother Solomon, man. Great show.
I definitely like the layers of the question, because what you're saying is me being so diverse in what I do, I have my hands in a lot of different things. I do have a lot of different suits and things like that when it comes to my life, rather it be my business side, my spirituality, me kicking it with my friends or me doing something else, you know, it's always, I definitely understand what you're saying. And on a spiritual level, it was definitely going to be about a better understanding of myself, especially with me and my mom's relationship and me being embedded in a wonderful approach. You know, my spirituality has always been, it's been clear. It's never been really clouded or misunderstanding. So I feel like my position at that point would be to spread my spirituality or spread the awareness of it to the people around me.
That is amazing. Now, I'm sitting back here, like, wow, what is the statement? What are you trying to say? You know, and it's so important, you know, of course, in a wonderful approach, everyone gets to say, everyone gets to have that voice and everything else like that. But really, we have to be aware and conscious of what we are actually saying or what people are hearing. You know, so we can be saying ice cream all day and they'll hear Rocky Road. I didn't say Rocky Road. We said ice cream. You know what I'm saying? And so often we will say something, but people will hear and interpret something differently. So it does help to have that statement that says, no, no, this is who we are and this is what we're about. You know? All right, look, I'm just writing on that all. Look, pen and paper still applies, family. Pen and paper, because I'm sitting here like, I know some nuggets are going to come out. I learn from everybody. I learn from the bees and the butterflies. You know, I learn from everyone. So, Solomon, there's another caller.
Yes.
Can we get to the caller?
Okay. All right, I'm ready.
You ready? Okay.
I got my paper out this time. I had to open it mid-conversation last one, but I got it out now. I'm ready.
Hey, I started with it. I knew that there was going to be some wisdom because I said menfolk come through, and I knew that that was a loaded question. I knew they were going to come and have their voice heard, and that's exactly what we're looking for. All right, greetings. Welcome to the program. Hello.
Peace.
Greetings. Oh, there you go. I got you.
Alafia.
Alafia.
How
are
you doing today?
How are you?
So you, oh, you can't hear me.
Yes,
yes,
ma'am.
Okay, so I didn't hear that you're now, you know, unmuted. So I'm just like, hello, hello? Okay. Well, first of all, let me say great program. Second of all, Brother Ibrahim just threw me off. I knew I had a question. And then when he came on, I was like, yeah. I don't forgot what my – I should have wrote it down. Sorry, Solomon. However,
oh, no, you're fine.
Look, you got everybody thinking on that. How about? I love it.
It's not often I get stumped, but I was just like, yeah, what is it? You know, talk to me.
Yeah, what is it?
You know,
mm-hmm.
And while he was building, I was like, yeah, you know, every generation needs to have where are we going? What's the next step?
Yeah.
And with you all were born during the time when, you know, we were born during the time when things are changing. But now y'all are here where things it's so fast and things are continuously changing. And a lot of the things that we were fighting for or even fighting against, you know, you all are now like, well, we don't even need that. This is what we need now. And we're like, oh,
mm-hmm.
wait a minute.
Yeah.
Now, what is this you're talking about? You know, so for my question to you is how do you relate that? How do you relate back to the elders, you know, when you're dealing with us? Because we're still the foundation. We're still there for you, but what I don't want is that gap like we had with our parents or some of our parents.
Yeah.
You know, gap to where, you know, things went on, and then when we came back, it's like they didn't understand or, you know, like my generation, they called us the X. I'm like, the X? You're like
mm-hmm.
we're not there anymore? Like, you know, just X'd out. But how would you relate your goals, your purpose, how would you bring us along to help you support or what can we do to support you in those things?
I can tell you from my experience with my mom, when my mom was very plugged in with everything that I was doing, that's just because of the relationship that we had, of course. But when it came, I used to tell my friends all the time, like, I was always scared to do new things. Like, before I've been doing my photography for like 2 or 3 years now, and it's been very well. But before the photography, I was doing this YouTube channel, and I was not really sold on this YouTube channel stuff. It just wasn't my thing yet, and I wasn't comfortable talking in front of a camera. But my mom was just pushing it, and I was just like, whatever. I was like, whatever I do, no matter what, my mom is going to support me in what I do regardless.
Mm-hmm.
It could be bad, and she's probably still going to be there in the front of the crowd waving like I'm actually doing something. And that's for me and my business. and my business and what I'm doing, honestly, with anybody that I know personally, that could make the biggest difference in somebody doing it and being successful and somebody doing it for 6 months, not getting what they want and just stopping. But that support system, mm-hmm. that family support system, knowing you got somebody to go home to on a bad day, it helps. I remember, especially like I played football. When we won football games, we got to talk on the bus on the ride home. When we lost football games, nobody could talk. It was super quiet, and nobody could talk until you got back to the school. And if you didn't have, just imagine not having, like, a support system coming back home after something like that. It really kind of makes you feel some type of way about what you're doing when you get home. Mm-hmm. But when you have a support system that really cares about you and what you're doing, it kind of makes those lows feel kind of better. And that's really important, is to having somebody there when you're not feeling 100%. So I would say the first thing is trying to be involved as much as possible in what they are doing as much as possible, or just making sure that they know that you're there if they need anything can make a big difference. And just having, if you would have asked me this question 2 years ago, I would have acted like it was a really complicated question. But as I've gotten older, they've really just been really uncomfortable five-minute conversations that have cleared up a lot of things in my life. So my second thing would just be having that open conversation about, you know, what you want to do. You know, I remember if anybody doesn't know me, I'm like 6'3", 275. I look like an NFL draft pick. So I was bound to play football. Did not want to play football a day in my life. And I remember my 12th grade year, everybody's like, oh, you're going to go to college for football. And I was like, nah, I was kind of doing football just for y'all anyways. That's what I said in my head. Now, saying in front of my dad, my 6'5 uncle, on Thanksgiving while everybody's watching football on all the 2 days, it's different. And when I said that I didn't want to play football anymore and everybody just looked at me and said, okay, I was like, what? I was like, y'all aren't going to, like, try to throw me out of the house or anything like that. Y'all aren't going to try to, like, crucify me or anything. They was like, no, what do you want to do? And from that point on, that's when I felt like I really had control over what I wanted to do in my life. And I felt like if I could have these awkward conversations here, then I was ready and prepared to take whatever I had to deal with when I walked out of the house.
Wow. So have the conversation, ask the questions, be there as a support.
Yes. And with my, from speaking from a kid's point of view, talking to a parent, sometimes the barrier between adults and many adults and teenagers, it's big, and it can get really bigger if you sit on it. So it's like we can play about who does what first, but just know the longer that game is being played, the bigger that gap becomes.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I can see that. Mm-hmm. I can definitely see that because you know, everyone knows I have a lot of nieces and nephews, and so I've been in their life all their life, but now they're young adults. So I was talking to a young man. He had to be like maybe fourth grade, fifth grade, something like that. And I asked him, I said, well, you know, people always ask, what do you want to do when you grow up? But instead, Spirit laid on me to ask him, what do you want to contribute to the world? You know, what gift are you bringing to the world? And he was like, whoa, well, you know, I would really like to be a politician to where I can change things or change a lot of the laws that we have. I'm like, that is a great gift, you know. And I think even at a younger age, we try to push on to our children what we think they should do, you know, or I didn't do this, so you need to do this for us, for the family, instead of allowing them to be the blessing and be the gift that they are and allowing their gift to, you know, to flourish. You know, I know that my nephew, for the longest, you know, he always wanted to be a coder. And ever since he was younger, he was like, I want to play video games. Of course, you know, it was like, I didn't know it. You know, I'm like playing video games and he's sitting there watching these kids on TV play video games. And I remember, I remember when it started. I was like, so you getting ready to sit here and watch this young man play? He told my man, Unique is big money. Now, that was 5 years ago. Now, I'm sitting here watching Corey Kichimani, you know what I'm saying? Spooky Sundays. I'm watching this, and the other day he looked at me, he was like, I told you. I was like, I'm so sorry, you know, because you're thinking, oh, you're just playing video games, not really listening and allowing him to just, you know, do what he does and support him in that. So, you know, of course now he's like, he wants to go to school and he's going to be a coder. But maybe if we had encouraged that or embraced him 5 or 6 years ago, you know, he could have been that Me Too, you know, person. He could have been doing the things that he really loved to do instead of, you know, just working. Because, you know, a lot of times after that, if their dreams are not approached, they go to the straight, I'm just going to work to get some money.
And that kind of goes back to, like you were saying, things are constantly changing. So it's like, I remember 5 years ago, everybody was saying that. I'm like, I wouldn't believe it. I'm in myself, and I was in the age group. I was like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. I don't see what this is. And then lo and behold, 4 or 5 years later, it's the new norm. And that goes to say, It's different. Things are constantly changing. Some things that used to just work regular don't really work in the real world, not for us anymore. And that it just goes to kind of show we are adapting as much as we can. So sometimes it's kind of hard to fix that idea because we're learning on the fly. I can attest to that. I've learned on the fly a lot of things in my life in the past 6 months.
Especially last 6 months. Well, Sister Unique, thank you so much for calling and sharing and giving us that insight. Absolutely. That very important insight. I got to say it one more time. When we're supporting these young people, we have to support them, not do what we want them to do. We have to support them in what they want to do, even if we don't understand it, even if we think that that's silly, even they deserve the chance, you know what I'm saying? And I don't think our parents did that. I tell everybody I was bred, you know, I wasn't raised, you know. I was made to do a particular function and everything else like that. And I was like, you know, I want something different with my children, especially with my children being, I have two male children. So I was like, they can't do me like I do me because they're designed and wired differently, and I want to respect that, you know. So it's like, how do I respect all of them? And that is, you know, you have to allow all of it to flourish and come out. So, yeah, that's super important. Thomas, I want to ask you, what about, and this is what I've heard, we've had two dynamite callers, okay? What about intentionality? You know, what about that whole idea of being intentional with your thoughts, your actions, your everything. How does that work?
When you have a daily routine, I can go through my day, Monday through Friday, with my eyes closed. I do the same thing. I go to work, come home, I do this and I do that. I could easily half do it and still get away with it. And once you start to learn the tips and tricks on how to get away with things, you start to get a little lazy, you start to get a little comfortable, you start to get a real familiar with everything that you're doing, so you kind of sit back, you lay back, and just do what you're doing. But being real intentional, being real purposeful in what you're doing can make the difference. So when I wake up early in the morning, I have a to-do list because Lord knows I can't keep on track for anything. So I have a to-do list. I have stuff that I have to get done today, and I have stuff that I can get pushed back till tomorrow, and I got stuff I got to get done by the end of the month. And that's being intentional with my time. That's being intentional with everything that I'm doing in my week, in my month, so I'm not just letting things happen to me I love saying that. I say this. I like to punch Monday in the face. Anything I have to do on Monday, if you need work for me, I'm going to punch you in the face before you can punch me in the face. I say every Monday, I'm going to punch you in the face before you punch me in the face. Because I'm going to attack. That's how aggressive I'm attacking Monday. And that's being real intentional in what I'm doing in my life in general.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like that. I've had a couple of Wednesdays that if I don't set it up properly, it's going to drag me. It'll drag me the whole day. And I'm like,
goodness. If my Monday is bad, don't talk to me till next Monday.
Okay. Right. I get it. So, look, where are you at right this second, you know, when it comes to this conscious effort? Because it sounds like you've got a good plan in place. What happens when the plan doesn't work, though? Is there a plan B, C, R? You know, like, where are you at?
Well, when the plan doesn't work, it's like, it's minimums I got to get done.
Okay.
And that's what when you're having bad, like I said, when I have really bad days, I'm lucky to brush my teeth and get out of the house. I literally mean just brush my teeth and get out of the house. And the chart that I have called bad habits and good addictions is transferring over bad things and negative things that we do into good, positive stuff that we can transfer that into. But when you're having bad days, it's my biggest thing. It's really important to have a schedule, like just be able to have something to do. I have to get something done. I'm really hard-headed in the stuff that I do. So I remember I was having this really bad day, and I was like, I have to work out today. Like, that's my bare minimum. I have to work out today. And then I walked outside and it was raining, and I just kept saying, like, I have to work out today. And then I got in my car, and it was still it was ugly and it was windy, and any other sane person would easily just went back into the house and said, it's not going to be today. But I was like, no, I'm going to have a productive day today. And and it goes back to that constant effort, because I wanted to be in my bed. I didn't want to go to the gym. I didn't care about whatever little calories I would have burnt off if I went to the gym. I would have just took a loss for that day. But I wanted to push myself, and I wanted to keep myself on the track that I've been doing. So really, it's just dragging yourself out.
Yeah, and I get it. I get it because I'm forced to do it myself. You know what I'm saying? There are so many times I'm like, yo, this is difficult, you know. You're not ready for me to help you? And I'm sitting there like, yes, I am. I'm ready for help, you know. As a man, as a young man, as whoever and everything that you are, how hard is it for you to ask for help before you get overwhelmed. You know what I'm saying? As you see that wave start to lean in, how hard is it to ask for help and say, yo, I don't know if I'm going to make it. You know, I might need some assistance in this.
That takes a little bit different kind of strength. You know, are you always, I want to act like, oh yeah, the minute I need help, I always call somebody. But, you know, I don't feel like it's just in men. I feel like men get penalized really bad. I feel like human beings want to be able to do things for themselves. Now, are men a little bit more hard-headed? I'm not going to say men, but I am. I know I am. So, but I really don't know. I want to have a clear-cut answer, but it's really a sticky situation. It's always a case-by-case thing. My biggest thing is, especially when I'm the one helping somebody else, you know, don't call me once your apartment is flooded. I would like to know what's going on a little bit before that. You know what I mean? Just sometimes it's not even – I don't know how to ask for help all the time, but I know how to express that I'm not having a good day right now. I'm learning to be able to say, today's not the day for me, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. And I'm like, that means I'll cancel plans and things like that. But when it comes out to, like, actually asking for help, it takes a little time. It takes a little time. And I don't feel like that's a bad thing. I feel like it's just a realization that you're in a bigger situation than you thought you were, and now you've realized it, and you need to take a break and kind of outsource it a little bit. Yeah. But that process of being able to actually sit down and be like, yeah, this is too much to handle by myself is hard sometimes.
And like you said, it's not always a man thing. Men deal with things in certain ways, but we all have those moments where it's like, I don't have enough gas. I don't have enough gas to get from here to where I know I need to be, you know, so I need some help, you know, to get from here to there. And that asking for help, oh, it can be torture. I mean, I've seen it, like, you know, just, you know, I'll just do without. I'm like, you don't
yeah,
have
I'm
to
good.
Do
I don't
without.
Need it.
Right. I'd rather starve. Nope, I'm not going to eat. I'm on a hunger strike. I'd rather be hungry.
I haven't been that far, but I have been around people, and I'm eating, and I'm like, you want some food, dude? And they're like, nah,
right.
I'm going to just wait. And I'm like, dude, I know you're hungry. Can you please just take this chicken sandwich so we can go home?
Right.
Like, you don't have
right.
to be this big, strong dude. Like, it's okay. Mm. I haven't – I know when to bow down. That's one thing I know when to bow down. I say, nah, this is too much for me. I'm going to phone a friend. But I do know those situations. And sometimes you just kind of got to pull them aside and just be like, I see it. Once other people can see it, that's when you should know that you should have been through in the town and called somebody to help.
Okay. So
being able to tell somebody that is takes a certain kind of friend as well. Because some people will be like, okay, and eat their food, and then some other people be like, dude, just get what you need so we can have like a real sitting, a real outing. You don't have to be this good, strong dude. We're friends.
Yeah, and that's something that I really wanted to ask you. Can me as the mom, the sister, the wife, the whoever I am to this male figure, can I say, look, I can see, you know, this is not working. Can we try something else? Can we do something else? How does that come across?
I can tell you guys from experience, it doesn't come across, none of this comes across fun or nice. It's going to feel, it's going to feel like getting your face. It's going to be super uncomfortable, and it's not going to be fun. It's going to be super uncomfortable. You're probably not even going to want to look at each other. It's just going to be, it's super uncomfortable, and I keep saying uncomfortable because I want people to embrace uncomfortable, because I feel like sometimes in this society, things are supposed to be imagine as like some peaceful oncoming thing all the time. Like, nah, I'm not gonna lie, it's gonna be super uncomfortable. But after it's done though, and everything is on the table, and you can see the whole picture, you're gonna be like, oh, this is it. Like, this is it. And then you're gonna be like, oh, okay. But the initial thought, like, oh my God, is it gonna be uncomfortable? Yeah. Like, yeah, it's gonna be uncomfortable, and it's gonna be hard. But the only thing that I can say is try to bring it up in a neutral environment for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't do it when nobody's fresh off of work or you see they're having a bad. Mm-hmm. Try to catch them at a good moment. Me, I'm big mm-hmm. over some food. Nobody's gonna fight you over no food.
Mhm. Yeah. I think that's real important. I think it's important. I think it's also important that we set up ways to talk to people. Like you said, don't grab me after work. Don't grab me right after work. You know, I got work on my brain. I'm tired. I've been up since 4:30 in the morning. That's not the right time to try to hit me in the head. I'm going to take it personal. Solomon, we have another caller that I'd like to speak.
Oh, well, we're on fire tonight. Okay.
I know. I know. All right. Greetings. Welcome to the program.
Greetings, Mama Seven and my favorite chocolate biscuit.
Hey.
How are you doing, buddy?
Hello. So I'm coming to you from a different perspective, as you are a very wise young gentleman. I myself am raising a little man of my own. So I would like some advice from a young man who was raised by a mother of things that I can do to help benefit my son as he progresses into his youth and young adult self. So I'm a woman. So like your mom said, I'm wired a little bit differently. And, you know, I have this little kid who's now coming to me talking about mommy, my wee-wee hurt. And I'm just like, well, talk to it. Like, what you want me to do? Like, you know, I'm going to go through these situations where, you know, his father isn't present during these conversations because he may be at work or something else. So I need some guidance about, you know, how to have these conversations or things that I need to do with him to make sure that, you know, he's prepared. So can you give me some advice?
Yes. Kind of going into my punching things in the face before it punches you in the face. Whatever you want to prepare him for, I don't know. This is complicated. I would say whatever you want to prepare him for, to go ahead and get ready to have those kind of conversations now, because I'm like, because whatever it is that you're trying to prevent or hold, it's probably already there, and it's not a big deal, and it's probably more confusion than anything else. I can attest to that from my point of view and my little brother. It's probably a lot of just misconfusion. I really don't remember the kind of conversations that we had to have, that I had to have as a kid. Mom, can I get a little piggyback? I'm stuck.
Yeah, we had to have a conversation about being in other people's houses.
Okay. It was, for me, it was definitely understanding. It was always the why. I remember when I was a kid, my mom would come home, and I would ask, like, 15 questions the minute she got home. Or if she told me no, I had, like, 3 follow-up questions on why her answer was that in the first place. So it was really getting an understanding on why I can't go outside past the streetlights are out, or why I can't go over to these crazy people's house, but they have cool toys. And it was a lot of just understanding what everything really was in life, and then telling me that's why. Like, oh, I don't, my mom didn't just not want me outside. She didn't want me riding my bike past 7 o'clock so I didn't get swept off the road by somebody fresh off of work. So it was me understanding the why versus the just do this, do that.
Mm-hmm.
So if the only way that I think I can answer this right now is to explain the whole picture so they understand what's really going on and not really mm-hmm. just what you want them to do.
Mm-hmm. I know some other uncomfortable conversations that we've had talking about drinking or any type of smoking. And, you know, girls was a big thing. I don't do girls. And I have attractive sons. And so girls want to do that. I'd be like, yo, I need you back up. So how was it dealing, you know, and I would say I was a little strict. How was it dealing with a strict mother that was very involved in everything you did?
I tell this joke all the time. I was like, it was really hard for me to get in trouble in school when your mom was at your school all the time and you didn't know when she was there. She could be there every day of the week, and she was pulling the bad kids out of my classes. So every time the kids were getting pulled out, I was like, she's here, isn't she? So it was really hard for me. But I remember... I remember a really uncomfortable conversation that we had about, of course, me when I was in a relationship about driving in cars. I wanted to go to college with a car really bad, and I'm like, I had the money for it, and I'm like, that's what she said at first. She was like, oh, get the money first, and then we can get a car. Got the money, and I was like, bam, I'm ready. Let me get this car. And she was like, oh, you don't need a car your freshman year. And I'm like, oh, I'm about to go buy a car from the back street because this lady done lied to me, and she's really playing with me. I hustled all summer for this money. But then I got to school my first year, and I didn't go further than the gas station across the street from the campus. So, and that was just one of the many light reasons why I didn't need a car that semester. But I wouldn't have known those things until I went to school for my first semester, and I was like, I really didn't need a car my freshman year. I don't think I had one when I came back the next semester. I think I came back the next semester with a car. And then I really needed it, and then I was like, this feels a lot more better for the situation that I'm in now. Like, I need it now. I would have just been playing around with my friends or with it or something, and something could have happened, and I could have been in a different situation right now. So it's definitely, it's hard to take advice. I wouldn't have said you were strict, and it's so funny that people think that I'm strict now. I don't think I'm strict. I just think I'm really realistic with things that I do. Like, I just think everything through. I think that's what it is. And people get mad, like, why would you think that? And I was like, because it's a possibility. I'm just preparing for a possibility that could happen. And it was hard to understand at first, but as I got older and I was actually put in those situations, it was like, oh, that's why that was in place then. So it was a lot of understanding. And I'm like, she told me all this stuff when I was crying about not having it. I just wasn't trying to hear it, but it took time to understand why.
Yeah. And baby steps. You know, even though I share a lot, I try to keep it age appropriate, you know what I'm saying, so that they're comprehending and stuff like that. So, you know, I'll take an extra minute and explain, and then it'll come that point where I'm like, okay, now, you know, there's that point where I'm like, okay, I've given you all the explaining that you need. If this is the decision here, boom, you know. So, yeah, that's awesome. Solomon, one more caller, and then I can't believe it. The time is just gone. But hold on for just, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, you're on the roll. This has been awesome. I appreciate everyone's contribution. Greetings, over to the program.
Greetings, Mama Seven, the young King Solomon. I just had to call in and say I'm so proud of you, brother. All the wisdom that you have shared tonight, all of the openness. I just want to say thank you. I had to call in. I was like, I don't have anything to say because I just enjoy what he's saying. But I really want to say good job. Kudos to you. Kudos to you too, Mom, for raising this awesome thing for us to enjoy. And have a great night. I'm looking forward to more from you. All right?
Ooh, thank you. Awesome. How awesome. I cannot believe that it is almost 9 o'clock. That just zoomed by. I too am very pleased with the program. I have a whole 2 pages worth of notes because I'm like, hey, how do we help? How do we help with intentionality? How do we, when we see them distancing themselves, respect the distance? You know what I'm saying? And then how do we get them to see, look, everything that you do has a cost. So I thought it was a great program for any age and for any gender, but really, like I said, leaving that space open for the men folk. They got to come through. They got to share with us how we can be of help and assistance to them. So, Solomon, this is your program. You want to wrap it up? Are there any last words you want to offer, anything like that?
No, I definitely want to tell everybody I appreciate all the call-ins. I definitely thought me and my mom were just going to be up here talking for the whole hour, and I was cool with that. So I definitely appreciate everybody calling in. I'm really excited. I hope we can do this every month. I don't have a topic yet I don't know. Nah, I don't have one yet. I don't want to be too early. I don't have one yet, but I'll definitely be having. I'm gonna be getting it ready and getting it together for everybody in the next couple of weeks.
That's great. And how do you feel about that assignment? Because you said, you know, you had mentioned you were doing some research and everything like that. How does it feel to be, you know, to be working on this level, you know, because this has a lot of potential. How do you feel about that?
It's definitely fun. You know, it doesn't feel like work when you enjoy doing it, you know. Like, this isn't just stuff that I'm writing down for you guys. This is mine, you know what I mean? Like, I'm reading this straight off of my personal stuff that I look at every day to help me through the stuff that I'm going through. So I definitely enjoy it. It's beneficial, and me helping spreading what I got to say, it's a win-win.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I really do. All right. This is yours. You want to close us out?
I don't know. I think of a closer. Okay, well, what is it, 9 o'clock? Okay, well, no, everybody have a nice night. I'm about to go in the kitchen and cook, so I hope everybody has a good night and a safe morning.
All right. Amen.